pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word today. I just ask that you would use me as a vessel to bring forth your word and to encourage and exhort those who are here today. Father, we thank you that you give us the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of you. We thank you that the eyes of our understanding are enlightened. We know the hope of your calling and the glorious inheritance that you have for us. In Jesus' name, amen. So today we're going to talk about being anchored. So we can either be anchored or we can shipwreck. I'd rather be anchored than shipwreck. Wouldn't you? Anybody ever been out on a boat? And you're we've done a couple of those, you know, where you're overnight on a boat. And my dad had this. It was a little 24-foot Venture sailboat. And we sailed out to Catalina Island. And it's a little 24-foot Venture sailboat. It rocked a lot. And so we were going to stay overnight. We're there by Catalina. And the shore along Catalina Island is very rocky. And we put anchor down, and sometime during the middle of the night, my dad realized that there was more rocking going on than should have been going on, and I think we lost our little hibachi. It went over the side of the boat. Wasn't that the night, Dad? I think it was, and I'm up here telling the story, so. But somehow the anchor hadn't stuck real good, and we were drifting a little bit, and there was some concern that because the shore is rocky, that we're going to shipwreck. All right. So when I'm thinking about being anchored, I'm thinking about that time. Because what happens is the waves start to carry you away. Waves are like life. Life can carry us away, and if we're not anchored to something solid, then we're going to drift away. Okay. This might or might not make sense to a lot of people. I'm from Southern California. We spend a lot of time at the beach. And when you're at the beach and you're playing in the ocean and you're playing in the waves and your body surfing and you're playing around, after a while you get up and the beach doesn't look the same. Has anybody ever experienced that? Thank God I'm not alone. some people have been through this too. You get up and you're looking around, 200 yards down the beach is where your stuff is. What happened? Did your stuff move? No, you did. I moved. I got busy playing around and fiddling around and playing in the water and having a good time, but I drifted away. As we're moving into the end days, and we are indeed in the end days, Paul said the last days would be perilous times. So this is why we're having this message. Jesus said there would be wars, rumors of wars, plagues, famines. He said people would be more concerned about themselves. But I want to not focus on those things. Because if I focus on those things, those are waves that are going to carry me down the beach away from my steady spot. Those are the things that are going to cause my anchor to come up or come loose, and I'm going to drift away. I have to be anchored somewhere. No matter what we face, we have to be anchored, and we want to be anchored in hope. Scripture tells us that hope is an anchor. Hope. Not a wishing, you know, when you wish upon a star, your dreams come true. That's not hope. That's a wish. Hope is an expectation that what you know or what you believe is true. If you know and believe in your heart that Jesus Christ died, raised again, and is now seated in heavenly places, then your hope is in him. Your hope is in salvation. I don't care how many times, Kathy said this, I don't care how many times you stumble. Scripture says the righteous stumble, but they get back up. When we stumble, we get back up because our hope is in him. Paul was shipwrecked, and he did just fine, didn't he? You guys know the story in the book of Acts. Paul set sail, and that the Lord told him that the trip's going to be with peril, and he got on the boat anyway. Because life is going to be perilous sometimes. They get on the ship. God tells them what to do. Paul tells the people what to do. He says, God told me this, do that. So they do. Everything came out okay because he was listening to God. He trusted what God said was true and that God was going to see them through it. And he came out on top. Not a single person lost their lives because Paul was anchored. He had the anchor of trust. He had the anchor of hope that what God said was true, and that God was going to see them through. When bad things happen, we have a choice, right? You get a negative report, somebody says something about you, you have a choice. You can dwell on what that person said or did, or you can dwell over here with God and say, you know what, it doesn't matter what anybody thinks about me. It doesn't matter what the doctor said. It doesn't matter what my finances look like. Or we can worry and complain. Oh, I just can't believe that somebody would actually think that about me. Oh, come on. People think all kinds of stuff. It's okay. It doesn't matter what anybody thinks about you. It doesn't matter what anybody says about you. It doesn't matter at all what anybody believes about you. What matters is what God believes about you. What matters is what you believe in Scripture that God thinks about you. You can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. If you get a bad report from the doctor, you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you. You get the word, and that they're going to deliver your baby at 25 weeks. And this little baby only weighs 13 ounces. She's 10 inches long. They tell you one night she's not going to make it through the night. You can worry and complain, or you can get with God. Now she's going to be in high school next year. Whew. Where did that time go? I'm telling you. 1 Timothy 1:19 says, having faith and a good conscience, which some having rejected concerning the faith, have suffered shipwreck. When we get away from Scripture, when we get away from God, we're going to shipwreck. I don't want to shipwreck. Because when they tell you something, you can either trust God and stay on top and stay anchored in hope, or you're going to lose. The Word of God tells us that what we focus our attention on, what we look at with our eyes, what we dwell on and think about is what you're going to get. I had an interesting conversation some time ago with somebody who used to come here, and they disagreed with me on the fact that if you focus on something long enough, you're going to become that. I said, well, this is what Scripture says. You don't really believe that, do you? Oh, absolutely I do. Absolutely, 100%, I believe what you focus on is what you're going to do. I've said this before. You know, if you want to be a doctor, you don't focus on playing basketball and hope that someday you get into medical school. No, if you want to be a doctor, if that's your dream, you go to medical school. That's what you focus on. That's what you're going to become. You didn't just wake up one day and say, okay, I'm a doctor. Somebody give me papers. Because I'm not going to you. I got that for sure, right? I go into the doctor's office, and one of the first things I look at when I'm sitting in the doctor's office and looking around, I'm looking for where they went. Aren't you? Don't you want to find out where they went, where they went to medical school, what their training is? That's what I want to know. You going to hire a lawyer? You want one that got their degree online? Or you want one that went somewhere good and got a good education? Right? Because you need some help. Paul wrote about another kind of shipwreck. That's the faith shipwreck. Our faith is shipwrecked when we stop trusting and believing what God said. If Paul had not trusted in what God said, they would have all been lost at sea. But because God, look, Paul is the only person on the ship who hears from God, who believes what God is saying. He tells these other guys, if you do what the Lord told me to tell us to do, we're going to be fine. They believed him. And he believed God, and everything worked out. One person in a crowd trusting God because their anchor is in him is going to save that whole crowd of people. Now, one of my favorite movies, and I'm not an alarmist or a climate person, all of that. But I love Day After Tomorrow. I love that. I mean, Roland Emmerich does such a great job with graphics and stuff like that. And you know, they've got these people, they're all trapped in the big library in downtown New York, and this flood is coming in, and everything is iced over, and now it's snowing. And it's like, oh, look, it looks peaceful and quiet outside. Let's start walking. And the guy says, no, my dad told me that this eye of the storm that's coming towards us is going to make things worse. He said to stay inside. All the people who didn't listen to him died. Why? Because the one guy had the right information. If you have the right information, you're anchored. You're anchored when you have the right information. Make sure that the information you have is the right information. Hebrews 6, 18 and 19 says that by two immutable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation. I like that, strong consolation. Your anchor in him is strong. Don't let anybody deceive you. The anchor that we have in him is strong. Who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope that is set before us. This hope we have is an anchor for the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil. Come on. Behind the veil. You know the imagery, the temple in Jerusalem. And it has this massive veil that is torn from top to bottom when Jesus dies. The veil is torn from top to bottom. Our hope is an anchor set in the very presence of God. It's not some whimsical thing. I hope I get to go to Disneyland someday. No, our hope is in the presence of God. He's there. The veil has been ripped asunder. He's not. There's no separation anymore. We have a hope, a steadfast hope in him. I don't have to wonder how I'm going to make it. I don't have to wonder how things are going to turn out. I have a hope. My anchor is in the hope, in the presence of God, that whatever I'm going through, he is greater than what I'm going through, and we are going to be just fine when we get to the other side. Isn't that what Jesus said when they were crossing over? They said, let's get in the boat. We're going to cross over to the other side. Was there any doubt in his mind that they were crossing over to the other side? No. He said, we are going to cross over to the other side. Jesus is so comfortable with that thought, he falls asleep in the back of the boat. Then a storm comes along. Where's the disciples' anchor? Where's their hope? Jesus, don't you care that we're all going to die? He says, where's your faith? Then he speaks to the storm, and it settles down. Oh, you of little faith, he says to them. Where's your anchor? Where's your trust? Your anchor is your trust. Your anchor is where you put your hope. Your anchor is where you put your expectation. What is going to happen? How is my life going to be? Your life is going to be great. You put your trust in him. If you mess up today, it's okay. He's got new mercies for you today. And then tomorrow, he's got more new mercies. Because I've never met a person who was so perfect that they didn't need the mercy of God every single day. Every single day, we need the mercy of God. His mercy can be an anchor for you. His mercy can be, I messed up today. But Scripture says, God said that his mercies are new every morning. So I know that I have mercy from God. And everything's going to work out fine. God didn't abandon me. God's not waiting on the school bus with a baseball bat to beat you up. He's not waiting at the bus stop to beat you up when you get off the bus. He's waiting there with love. He's waiting there with mercy. Some people say, "Why? How do you even know who's saved and who's going to heaven?" Because the person who believes that they're saved and going to heaven is saved and going to heaven. They're following after God. They're putting their trust in him. They're reading the Bible. They're being led by the Spirit. They're walking after the things of God. My expectation is, if I do that, even if I'm misled by my own feelings sometimes, God is going to use that to get me back on track. I might have drifted down in the water away from my anchor spot, but God's going to bring me back up, and he's going to put me in the right place. Why? Because my anchor is in him. My trust is in him. My trust isn't in me. Like I said this morning, I'm sitting in my office this morning before church at 10 o'clock feeling inadequate. Our anchor is hope. Hope does not disappoint. You write that down. Hope does not disappoint. Hope in God, hope in what God has said, will never disappoint you. If your hope, your expectation is in him, you have a confident expectation. It's a confident expectation. If we were out sailing, docked for the night, we didn't tie down the anchor properly, we're going to crash against the rocks. But if I put my anchor down, I'm not going to crash against the rocks. You give that anchor a good jerk, and it's not coming up easily, right? Sometimes those anchors get such a good anchor that you have to cut it free. Don't cut yourself free from your hope. Don't cut yourself free from your hope. Be anchored in the truth. Be anchored in the Word. When they said that she's got a 50-50 chance of survival, I'm taking that 50-50 chance of survival, and I'm saying I'm adding God's 100% to it. When they tell you she's not going to make it through the night, you say, oh no, she's going to make it through the night. Even if you wake up every hour and you're praying. Again, going to be in ninth grade next year. Come on. That's a good testimony. I'm going to go back again. Anchored in hope. Regina, right back there. Anchored in hope for 15 years. 16 plus lesions on her brain. Multiple sclerosis diagnosis. A couple weeks before Christmas, she goes and gets her annual MRI with a new doctor. The new doctor says, there's no lesions. You've never had multiple sclerosis. She's, oh, yes, I did. Jesus healed me. I kept trusting and putting my hope in him. Jesus healed me. Come on. That's the thing we're talking about. Your anchor, if you're anchored in God, your anchor will provide for you anything you need and everything you need for life and godliness through Christ Jesus. Everything we need. Our hope is in him. Hold on when things look rough. Hold on when they keep telling you you're wrong. Your hope, your anchor is in Jesus. It's not in the doctors. You know, you keep going to the doctor, getting the treatment you need to get, but you keep putting your hope in him. You keep putting your trust in him, your expectation in him. Maybe your dream isn't coming to pass. We've talked about dreaming, having dreams for your life, dreams for your future. Maybe your dream to be something when you were a youth has changed. Every kid goes through these phases. I want to be a veterinarian. I want to be a fireman. I want to be a policeman. I want to be a doctor. I want to be an astronaut. I want to fly a spaceship. You know, whatever it is, you know, Josiah wants to be a dinosaur trainer. You know? Good luck with that. You know? Dreams change as we get older and we become more tapped into what it is that's really in our hearts. I never dreamed of being a pastor as a young person. That was the furthest thing from my mind. After I got saved, and I was raised in church, but after I got saved as an adult, turned my life back over to Jesus, got gloriously filled with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in other tongues, that's all I wanted. And I spent years planning it, years working towards it, years, I mean, come on, cleaning toilets, vacuuming, cleaning windows, printing bulletins, leading prayer groups, leading Bible studies. Now look at us. It's your dream. Don't settle for somebody else's dream for you. Somebody might say to you, well, I don't see how that's possible. We don't have money to send you to medical school. So what? What is your hope? What is your expectation for your life? Do everything you can. Who was it? I can't think of his name right now. The medical doctor, pediatrician that Ben Carson, raised in a poor home, poor family, no money, read books every day. His mother required him to read something like 5 books a week. He was the first doctor to successfully separate conjoined twins. He is the prime example of you might come from nothing. Your people might not have anything. Your family might not have ever had a college graduate or a high school graduate, but you can be the first one. You can be the first in your family to rise up above what has always been the norm and do something greater for God. Ben Carson gives all the glory for everything he's done because his faith has always been in Jesus Christ. Someone might say to Are you sure that's what you want? Cause some questioning to come into your heart. If this is what's in your heart, you better do it. When you're having a hard time, listen to and hear the voice on the inside of you. The voice of God saying, I make a way. With me, I make a way. No matter what you're facing, I can make a way. Listen to the voice of God on the inside of you. Don't listen to the voice of naysayers. Don't listen to the voice of your flesh. Listen to the voice of God on the inside of you saying, God will make a way where there seems to be no way. He makes a way where there doesn't seem to be a way. Man, if you knew me 30 years ago, you'd think he's never going to amount to anything. Jesus and the disciples, another time, they get in a boat. They're crossing over. I'm sorry, Jesus isn't in the boat. Not this time. I'm sorry. See? I am inadequate of myself. But with God, I can do all things. So the disciples and Jesus, they're getting together, and he says, you get in the boat, go on over to the other side, and I'll meet you there. Okay? So the disciples are in the boat, and it's not the best weather. But as they're sailing across, they see someone walking on the water. They think it's a ghost. Just, you know, to tell you, you know, what their thought process, they thought it was a ghost walking on water. I mean, what else could it have been? It's a person walking on water. And he comes walking up, and Peter sees him, and he says, Lord, if it's up to you, if it's your will, call me and I'll come walking out to you. Jesus says, come on, Peter. Peter comes walking out. And as long as he's focused, so we're talking about anchor. What is your focus? What are you anchored in? He was focused. He was anchored in Jesus. Pretty soon, he starts looking at the waves. And what happens to him? He sank. And he had to be pulled back up out of the water. But as long as he was focused and anchored in the one who gives hope, the one who called him to walk on the water, just because there were waves didn't mean that the call changed. Just because there was turbulence doesn't mean that the command to come changed. Just because life gets difficult, just because some obstacles are thrown in your path, doesn't mean that the call of God on you has changed. What it means is you're going to learn from those obstacles. That what you should have done was stay focused. And next time when he calls you to come out on the water, you're going to go out for a nice walk with him. You're going to walk and have a good time on the water with him. Because you've learned not to let the obstacles distract you. Don't let what the doctors say. When they say your child's not going to make it, don't listen to them. Don't start planning their funeral. Don't do it. When they tell you you're not going to make it, don't start planning your funeral. Start planning for success. Start planning, well, this time next year I'm going to go on a cruise because I deserve it. Don't start planning your funeral. Don't start planning how you're going to put your house up on the market and sell it because you can't afford to make the payments anymore. Start planning on how you're going to succeed through this. And you get fired. Don't start planning on how you're going to get, you know, disability or something else. Start planning, God's got a better door for me. God's got something else for me. This didn't work out the way I thought it would, but I know God's got something better. Keep your anchor in him, no matter what it is that you're going through. Friends, spouses, relatives, you see them every Thanksgiving, Christmas, Easter, family vacations. Don't tell them everything, because they will be some of the first people to tell you you're not right. I when my mom had MS and she was believing God to be healed, she told my grandmother. My grandmother said, well, you don't look very healed. Don't tell people what you're believing for sometimes. Joseph, oh yeah, I had this dream. Everybody's going to bow down and worship me, even you guys. Yeah, keep some things to yourself. You don't need to tell everybody. Because your family doesn't want to hear that you're going to be in charge. They don't want to hear that they're going to have to go to you for help. You're probably the youngest and last in line to be the one giving advice. How about Job? Job's a good example. His friends and family were so encouraging, weren't they? His wife, oh, such a great help. Curse God and die. Well, you really did something to mess with God, otherwise he wouldn't have been after you like he is, man. I'm telling you what. You know, some good friends, right? What a great spouse. Everybody's not going to be encouraging to you. But if God put something in your heart, put it there. Listen, God didn't put something on your heart, and I'm supposed to help you bring it to pass. I am here to help you, though. If you've got a call on your life, if you've got a call or a vision or a ministry that is something that you want to do, Len said, I think I want to get credentialed. Man, I was on the phone calling people to find out what he needed to do next. You got somebody who wants to go onto the mission field or somebody who wants to go do something for God, you let me know. I want to help. Feed his people. Direct, lead, guide. Today, say with me, my help comes from the Lord, maker of heaven and earth. I will stay anchored in the hope he has given me. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you give us hope. Thank you for giving us hope, Father. We love you. Oh, Father, I thank you for these people here today. I just pronounce a blessing on them. I declare and decree that they are the blessed of the Lord, highly favored. They are the head and not the tail, above only and not beneath. I thank you, Father, that they are led by your Spirit, led by your Word. Father, that you are the anchor for their hope, that you are the anchor for their soul. They will not suffer shipwreck, no matter what life brings at them. They are always victorious. They are the cream that rises to the top. Father, I thank you for it right now in Jesus' name. And if you're here right now and you're struggling, every head bowed, every eye closed, if you're here and you're struggling, I just want you to raise your hand to acknowledge that you're having a hard time. Okay. Father, right now, for those who've lifted up their hands, I'm asking, Lord, that you would give them more mercy, more grace, that you would give them a strength on the inside to help them right now, Father, in Jesus' name, to overcome the obstacles that they're facing, the trials that they're encountering. I just ask for that right now, Father, in Jesus' name. And if you just believe that you receive that, Jesus said, he said, if you believe that you receive, you will have. Believe that you receive your help. Believe that you receive it. Because, like I said this morning, his love has been shed abroad in our hearts by his Holy Spirit living in us. And if you'll believe, you have the help you need. And if you need other help, you let me know. And we'll do what we can, okay? Amen?